So here it is, Palm Sunday. It's a wonderful and exciting day. I never understood as a child how weird it was that we hand all of the children things with which they can whip each other and then ask them to sit still in the front of the sanctuary in front of everyone. I have a lot more anxiety about that these days. But man, it's wonderful to share in the joy and the energy of this day. It's as I reflect on Palm Sunday, I immediately start to go back. Palm Sunday is one of those days for which I have many memories. You know, if you asked about, oh, how about those Sundays in Lent growing up? Yeah, there were Sundays. They were in Lent. Not many memories. But Palm Sunday, I carry specific memories for. Marin, you'll appreciate this first one. My earliest memories of Palm Sunday were being about this tall, wearing a tiny little blue robe and playing a xylophone during worship. You know the big wooden ones? We would all sit up front and we'd play the little Hosanna songs and we'd sing our little tunes. And I remember being there in the excitement of it. As I got a little bit older, I remember being handed these were the ones, I think you guys have used these before, the palm branches that are the big leafy ones, right, that you almost could fan yourself with, and carrying those in and walking around and waving them as we sang. I still have one of those in my parents' house in my old bedroom, stuck behind one of my confirmation certificates, all dried up, probably an unbelievable fire hazard at this point in time. But I remember the parades and the processions. I remember the energy and the excitement of the day and just how neat it was, because even as a child, I didn't understand what we were celebrating necessarily. That's part of the growing and learning process. But I remembered there was this day before Easter that was so exciting. And that's where we find ourselves this day, with the palms waving, the voices raised, and a very big week before us. See, I enjoy this day, and I do appreciate Brandon being in the back corralling our kids, reminding all of them to smile. Okay, you're gonna go, don't hit each other and smile. But this is a wonderful and exciting day to celebrate Jesus. And that's how it all started. Our scripture this day tells the story of Jesus arriving in Jerusalem. In fact, this is what all of Lent has been leading to, in a way. Jesus was out and about doing his thing for years. And then there's the movement. Story by story, if you start plotting it on a map, we spend Lent moving closer and closer to the epicenter of power and change and crucifixion. And so this day, Jesus arrives. Hear the story as it's shared. After Jesus had said some other things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find there a colt tied, and it has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed, and they found it just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God with a joyfully loud voice for all of the deeds of power that had been done, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered them, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout out." Now, this story is one to picture. I mean, it truly is. There are also some moments in here that just require a snicker. I can just imagine being the owner of the colt. "Excuse me, what are you doing?" "The Lord needs it." Yeah, that answer is going to fly. I mean, really. Of course, I do add the little bit of a curtsy, because I figure anytime you say, "The Lord needs it," one should bow like that. But here's this entire situation. Let's also set the scene this way. People came in and out of Jerusalem all the time. But there were two gates in the city. One of them, at the same time, according to the timing and the ritual, other dignitaries, some very politically important people, were coming into Jerusalem on the other side of town. And all they got were crickets. Because all the people had come to see Jesus. Another one of the things that starts to upset and frustrate people. Okay, where are my masses waving and cheering? Can you imagine being the mayor in the back of that little convertible they ride in those, the little parades in, right? And you're riding down the parade route and there's nobody there. Excuse me, where is everyone? I got my wave down. Oh yeah, they're on the other side of the city hanging out with some guy with long hair, sandals, I don't know. Things are different. The Pharisees are really upset that no one person should receive this much adoration and praise. Jesus, get them quiet. Jesus responds, if they were quiet, the stones would shout out. This whole process of moving towards Jerusalem, Jesus continues to push and challenge those who will bring about what is to come for him. But let's step back into the energy and the excitement. I mean, picture this. Jesus hasn't ridden on a donkey since he was in utero, right? I mean, so the last time Mary's riding on the donkey on her way to Bethlehem. Now Jesus, not some brilliant white stallion, but a donkey. I can just sort of see the back and forth. Jesus trying to wave to the crowd and moving in. But here he comes in riding on this donkey and the people are flocking to the streets. 4 or 5 deep, the short people in the back jumping up and down trying to see what's going on. People are taking their coats off. Oh, let's make this very fancy. There's no red carpet to roll out, so have my jacket. They're reaching for the trees, grabbing things to wave. The energy is unbelievable. This is a party. They're celebrating the arrival of Jesus. But here is where we have to ask ourselves, why are they so excited? What are they celebrating? They keep shouting out, the King, the Messiah. Oh, folks, there are just as many misconceptions in that crowd as there are excited shouts of joy. So many misconceptions. Who is he? Who is he? What's he here for? Oh, what's he going to do? No one knows. Nobody knows. Here they come running out to the streets. Everybody's excited. Here comes Jesus. Oh, I heard about this guy. This is awesome. Wait, what's he going to do? What's this about? Let's cheer first and ask questions later. But the people, at the end of the day, are celebrating the arrival of a promise. They're celebrating the arrival of God's love. That's the excitement. That's the energy. That's where the memories are coming from. Because all their lives, and their parents' lives, and their parents' parents' lives, and their parents' 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 lives, they have been promised the arrival of God's love that would change everything. So if this is the chance, I mean, my parents' 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 parents were waiting for this, and it's showing up while I'm here. Yes! Oh, the energy and the excitement. They are so anxious to see this ancient promise take shape. But how will the story of God's love come to life? What will it be? Who will he be? What will he do? And most importantly, how will we be changed? You see, these are the questions that were running through the minds of the people in the streets. And these questions are just as valid for us to be asking as the children of our congregation fill the aisles and music fills the room. Because just like the people of Jerusalem, we think we know what's coming. We've heard the story before. Anybody been to Easter service before? Anyone? We know what's coming. We know how this is all going to unfold. Unlike the people in the Bible, we know what to expect. I hope you can hear in my tone that perhaps maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't think we know. I mean, in fact, so many of us have already jumped to Easter. It's so funny to be out and about and people, oh, happy Easter. And I'm like, no, we're not there yet. Seriously, we're not there yet. Oh, people, how many of you already have an Easter outfit picked out? I do. it's black. There's a stole. It's not that fancy. But nobody else wear the same thing. Okay. We go about our days and our business like we know exactly what's going to happen this week. Folks, sometimes we celebrate the resurrection before Jesus has even had his Last Supper, because we think we know what God has in store for us. Just like they did the first time. They thought they knew what God had in store. They were pretty certain. But we can't make those assumptions. Because if we assume we know what's going to happen this week, we have limited the promise and tried to define the love. We can't limit the promise. We can't define the love. One of my favorite parts of Palm Sunday is the shaping of this palm into a cross. After worship, if you would like to do it with yours, come down here. We'll do a little class and session, and I'll also post to Facebook and email out a video instructing you how. But I love this because it reminds me that God took the energy and the excitement of the people and turned it into something they didn't see coming. Nobody saw this coming. Not in that moment. That's what we're invited to remember this day and this week. From that anticipation of the promise and the love, it was shaped into more than anyone could have expected. Because God's promise and love took the shape of this week from Palm Sunday, and it was transformed into that cross. Now, God would then transform the meaning of this shape 3 days later. But let's not put the cart before the horse, or the resurrection before the crucifixion, as it may be. If we believe that the shaping and forming of the promise of God, if we believe that the love that arrives in Jesus only took place on one Palm Sunday on a palm-covered street 2,000 years ago, we will miss the energy and the excitement of this day. And if we think we know how the story is going to end, we will miss the meaning and the gift of this week. For there is an amazing week in store, not only for Jesus, but for us. God is bringing something into the world today. And it arrives amidst our everyday lives, whatever excitement and energy we might bring, whatever uncertainty and tiredness we might carry. God's gift that's being brought into the world this day arrives despite our assumptions and limited vision. For in this moment today, there are promises being fulfilled. There is love that is arriving. And if we will recognize the power and the potential of God, this gift, this arrival, will take shape in the week that is to come. And not only will this promise be redefined, but so will we. Amen.